It's time for Lincoln County Connections on KNPT, KWDP, and KBCH. Here's your host, Casey Miller.
Good morning and welcome to Lincoln County Connections. It's a pleasure to have you joining us and a pleasure to have on the program today Samaritan Pacific Hospice. We have Teresa Karlick, she's the assistant manager, and also Sherry Flynn. She is a hospice volunteer coordinator. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
It really is a pleasure, and I just have to say, you know, up front, thank you. Hospice has helped my family and I through, you know, three transitions for family members, and it's just such an invaluable tool. I can't say enough.
Oh, you're welcome, Kate.
I appreciate it. And part of the passion, too, comes for me wanting to have you on the program. It's just such an essential service. And I think we need to educate people about what you do and how helpful it can be. But before we get into about what hospice is, I did want to just put out there very quickly, and we'll come back to this. You've got a fundraiser this weekend.
We do. It's very exciting. Go ahead, Sherry.
Oh, thanks. we have our hospice fundraiser this Friday and Saturday, 10 to 4, in the old Oregon Coast Community College building right on Highway 101 in Hubert. And all the donations for that have been given to us by the old, Eager Beaver is now a mattress furniture store, and they gave us the inventory out of their old store as a donation to hospice. Again, passionate about hospice and wanted to give, wanted to give that to us as just a thank you for what we do in the community.
Very good. So Saturday.
Friday and Saturday. This Friday, the 4th and 5th. From 10 to 4.
And so will folks just come in and be able to make, will you just be purchasing things and those
yes,
donations?
Yes, it's all items for sale, new items. There's a few used items that were donated. And if you have donations, the quality donations that you would like to give us, we'll be there today at the storefront from 1 to 3 to accept donations.
And so if folks have stuff they want to give today for the sale, Now is the time.
Today would be the day.
We will be there probably all day, so drop them off for us.
Okay, great.
And all funds go to our hospice program to directly help hospice patients. So we have used our hospice monies to help families get loved ones from the East Coast here. We've done weddings. We have done all sorts of things. Whatever we can do to help that family have a better quality with their loved one before they die.
Well, let's talk about how many people are work in hospice in Lincoln County, and you are Samaritan Pacific Hospice, so we're talking about North and South?
So we are Samaritan Pacific Hospice and Samaritan North Lincoln Hospice in the north end of the county, and so right now we have probably 10 nurses at each site. We have a social worker at each site, a chaplain, and bath aides who provide the personal care of bathing our patients, and volunteers, a lot of volunteers. And we have probably census-wise here in the Newport area, we carry anywhere 10 to 15 patients at a time. And in Lincoln City, 15 to 20 is where we're running.
Yeah. And Sherry, in the volunteer end, how many volunteers come and go and how many do you maintain?
We're about 15 to 20 hands-on, but we also have another group outside of that called ORCA. That's a card-making group that makes cards for all of our hospice patients and families that we mail out for sympathy. We celebrate birthdays while the patients are on hospice. We're celebrating life while it's happening under hospice.
Wow.
And they do all of this for free for us. So a lot of great volunteers and a lot of great programs under that.
Yeah. Well, I'm just learning here. It sounds like there's a bigger team than I realized.
Yes.
You know, I mean, close to 40 people, possibly.
40,
at any one time.
40 staff
really
members.
Helping the community. Well, let's talk about, let's just define hospice and palliative care. And are the two terms interchangeable to a degree?
They are a little bit interchangeable. So hospice is end-of-life care. Per the Medicare rules, somebody has to be in the last 6 months of life. But that is always a really hard to find out. So based on what the doctor is telling us, what we're seeing with the patient, we decide whether they're hospice or not. What I want to get out to everybody to know is hospice isn't somebody who's dying in the next few days. We would love to have people come and get to know us so we can really help them in that last 6 months to transition to a very peaceful death. Palliative care is when somebody has a life-limiting illness but not quite ready for hospice, mm-hmm. not quite ready to stop the regular curative treatments in lieu of hospice. And so there's another thing coming in the future where palliative care will help pay, kind of do the work that hospice does, but pay for in a little different manner. So the Valley is starting that. We're kind of hoping to see how they do and see it come our direction here in the future.
Okay, well, you've just joined us. We're talking to Samaritan Pacific Hospice. We have Teresa Karlick on the program, also Sherry Flynn, and we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us. Thanks for joining us today on Lincoln County Connections. We have Samaritan Pacific Hospice, Teresa Karlick, Sherry Flynn joining us. Thank you for joining us as well. Remember, we're coming to you live on KWDP, KBCH, Lincoln City, and also here in Newport and Toledo. So, Teresa, we've kind of given a definition of hospice and talked about palliative care. So maybe we could kind of walk through what an individual or a family who might think they need the service, you know, where do you begin that decision-making process? And that being said, I mean, there is a maybe even a bigger process of thinking about death and dying and all of our futures, but practically, when do you see most people start out?
So what we'd like to see is when somebody gets to the point where if they're a cancer patient and their chemotherapy is no longer working, or they're at a point where chemotherapy is making them much sicker than it is helping them, that is the time that they qualify for hospice. And we have to have a physician's referral, and the doctors then call us, but sometimes the doctors are hard at knowing when is the right time to refer, especially if the family isn't saying they're ready. So I have a lot of families call me and say, what is hospice? When should we call? And I will do a lot of work with them on the phone and then calling their doctor and asking if they feel it's hospice time. Once we have that referral, we go out and we meet with the families in the home and talk about what the program is. And I think a lot of people feel like hospice is somebody who comes to their home and stays 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that's not true. We come to teach the family how to take care of their loved ones. We want them to know what to do in the midst of any kind of crisis, and we're visiting. The nurses come anywhere from 2 to 3 times a week, up to daily if needed, but our nurses are also available 24/7. So if they have a crisis at 2 o'clock in the morning, we're there. So once the families and the patient decides that hospice is the right road for them, we get them signed on, and that entitles them to the nursing visits, the bath aid visits, the social work visits, the volunteers, the occupational or physical therapy. And then we also provide any equipment people need in the home. So if a hospital bed is what somebody needs, we'll get it out there. And one thing people don't know is that hospice also pays for any medications to help keep their loved one comfortable. So we provide that and bring that out, and are just there to walk this path. And so if somebody has a question about is it time, we're happy to have those phone calls.
Yeah. Well, your team, and I'm sure this is true for you know, all of you, just the compassion and the reassurance that your team brings is, you know, it's a very scary time, and yet on the other hand, it's also a reassuring time, too. Can you tell me, and maybe some of your people are listening back at headquarters, what makes you able to do this as individuals?
Oh, wow. That's always a question that I get. I have done hospice since nursing school. Hospice has always been in my heart, and I felt comfortable doing it, and I could do it. And so I always felt that since I could, I should, and be there and to teach others how to do that. And I think it takes a very special nurse, a very special person to be a hospice professional. And I think people know that. People are drawn to this kind of work. And when people get there, they stay. So a lot of our nurses have been with us a long time. And what brings it to us, I'm not sure, but being that caring, being comfortable, I think, being able to have the conversations about death and dying, that is so hard. And that death is a part of life, that all of us will at some point be there, and to start thinking about what it is that you want your death to look like. Do you want it to be in a hospital, or do you want it to be at home surrounded by loved ones?
Yeah. Sherry, can we talk for a moment about the volunteer end here? Because, you know, when someone decides to volunteer for hospice, are they ready? Is it hard sometimes, too? Is there a growing process as a volunteer as well? As I'm sure there is as a hospice practitioner, too. I mean, professionally. And
I think it's a learning process. Mm-hmm. For most of my volunteers, they have experienced hospice with a loved one. And so they found once they see the program and what hospice has done for them, the care, the love, all of the things that we provide, they want to be a part of that. And what happens is usually it takes about a year for them to finish through the grieving process.
Yeah.
They contact and say, hey, tell me what I can do. So I meet with them, talk about the different avenues that we have that they can volunteer in. Some want to be right there with the patients and the families. Some want to be medication couriers. And some want to, like our card group, they want to be on the outside. And then we also have a flower group that makes flower arrangements that are taken into the homes. So everybody wants to have a piece. So what I try to do is say, what is your gift? What do you feel that you have to offer? And I mean, it's their time, so I want to make sure that we use them where they're comfortable and where they feel their value.
Sounds like there's some flexibility to find a role that suits them.
There is. There's a lot of things that people can do, and that's why I like to meet with them and talk about where is their passion and what our program is and the needs that we have and try to fit them. And I have volunteers that do multiple roles in hospice, and then some that just are specific to their time frame. So,
well, let's take another quick break. And if you're just joining us, we are talking about hospice. And is it 574-1811, the primary phone number?
That is for Samaritan Pacific Hospice, and then Samaritan North Lincoln is 541-996-7328.
Okay.
And either office can help.
Yeah, and you can easily find this information online. I found it by putting in Hospice Lincoln County, but also Samaritan Pacific Hospice, and Google will get you there. But we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program and talk to Teresa and Sherry. Stay with us. We'll be back.
KBCH and KWDP.
Welcome back to Lincoln County Connections every Thursday at 9. Teresa Karlick, Sherry Flynn, Samaritan Pacific Hospice is our discussion today. And before we left on the break, we were talking about the volunteer opportunities with hospice. Maybe we could kind of continue that conversation a little bit, Sherry, and talk about time commitments. How flexible is it? What's the max? What's the minimum? How's that work?
The max for us being with patients, families, is 4 hours. We like to keep it at a minimum. It could be 1 to 4 hours, depending on the family's need a week.
Okay.
And we also have office work that can be done. You can come in for an hour to 4 hours, 5 hours on that end of it. So there's a lot of things that you can do with us. I like to tell everybody, come talk with me, because if you have an hour a day or an hour, a couple hours a week, we can fill that need and use you in a program with mailings and different type of things.
And one thing that Sherry touched on was we don't want our volunteers who've just suffered a recent loss to come right to hospice. Hospice does offer a bereavement program for 12 months. 13 months, actually, mm-hmm. after death, to make sure that our families are doing as well as they can be. Whether that's grief groups or phone calls or cards, we're checking in to make sure that they're okay. So we really want those, our volunteers who come, or all of our families, to have that year of getting past this death, or not past isn't the right word, but doing their grief work.
Yeah.
And so that they're feeling comfortable before they come back to help volunteer. We love our volunteers and want them, but we want to make sure that they're okay after this death.
Yeah. Well, and interesting, you know, Sherry, that you mentioned earlier about maybe the experience somebody goes through, you know, as a part of having hospice come in too. There's like a reassurance that, you know, that this is sort of okay. At least that's the way it was for me. Maybe not
right.
for everybody. That makes you sort of passionate about what you guys do.
Exactly.
And I could see that people would maybe come off, you know, off a recent death of a loved one with they're fired up to want to help,
right.
you know.
Right. But we want them to work through what they need and then come back. And they are. The volunteers who have been through this can sit there and explain their stories and be, and the families that we set them with know that they've been through this. So very much a help.
Now, about the fundraiser this Friday and Saturday.
Yes.
This goes to benefit all of hospice. And you had a thought about that.
Yeah, all the money that is raised for this fundraiser will be split between both locations, the Samaritan North Lincoln Hospital, Samaritan Pacific Hospital Hospice programs. Because we are Lincoln County, even though we have two offices, at both one in each hospital, we are still one organization, hospice under Samaritan. So we agreed that the fundraiser and the donation that was made by Eager Beaver would be used in both locations. So,
now, how is funding for you? I mean, it's important to have fundraisers. If somebody wanted to give at a different time and a different way, how would that work?
We always accept funds. We are so grateful for the funds. It's through the Samaritan Pacific or Samaritan North Lincoln Foundation. They can come in. We have envelopes that we send out. A lot of people who we have helped choose to remember their loved ones through a donation after at the memorial services or funerals.
Yes.
We just finished in the last week our two Light Up a Life ceremonies where we remember all of the patients who have died this last year. It's also a fundraiser. People donate at that point, so they can call. Anybody can call and donate. And like I said, that money is used. We use it for staff education also, learning resources, helping to educate the communities. Wherever we feel a need, we can use that money, and it's always, always well appreciated.
So as we move forward in our lives and, you know, thinking about our family and ourselves, will you talk to folks? I mean, you know, maybe you don't necessarily have any recommendations on books, but there are a lot out there, resources. I mean, can we call hospice for a consultation even more in advance than of any situation?
Yes, you absolutely can. We go out and do what we call an informational visit, and we do that a lot, where we just explain what the program is and when is the appropriate time. And some people are not ready for hospice at that point, but then they have the information. But what I can say as a daughter, as a loved one, as somebody who takes care of people all the time is start having the discussion now. Before you're sick, talk about what it is that you want. Write it down. Pick the person who's going to be able to make those decisions for you if you can't speak for yourself, who will support your wishes. So you know and your family knows what it is you want. So then when it's brought up at the end that it may now be time for hospice, it doesn't come as quite a shock.
Yeah. Well, I know sitting on my desk, my wife and I have, you know, our advance directive.
Right.
Here it is. It's still there.
It's there.
They made it as simple as they, you know, they can for you with just this fill in the blank. And so how important is that, though?
You
as
know,
a part of this discussion.
I would say that an advance directive is important for everybody, not just end-of-life care.
Yeah.
It's important for the people who could be in a car accident later today, and they cannot speak for themselves.
Yeah.
What is it that you want? It's important for everybody to pick that person who's going to make those right decisions for you that you've had the discussion with to say, this is what I want, and I need you to be strong enough to stand up for my wishes at that time. It helps guide your doctors. You know, it opens that discussion with the doctors. I think it's incredibly important, and that also leads me that our chaplains at both sites do advanced directive classes. I don't know exactly when they are, but you could call our office and we could let you know. But it's a class that leads people through how to fill them out and what it means for each question that you're answering.
Yeah, there's some forethinking to just have to do, and that's a good thing to do.
It is.
So classes, the chaplain, we don't know the details, but of course you could probably find out those things. Any other events or, you know, resources that you guys do specifically in terms of outreach at this time?
You know, I am happy to go to, I've been to church groups, I've been to Ocean View and different facilities to discuss hospice. I'm happy to do that. I mean, whatever anybody needs, I'm women's luncheons, just to get the word out about and educate what hospice is and when it is. I don't have anything specific lined up right now, but always happy to educate.
So similar to like this, but you would be willing to come to someone's group and talk about it. And do you have any volunteers right now that are going out into the community in that manner besides yourself?
Just volunteering. What we've done is a 23-hour program throughout the summer. Mm-hmm. Some have been 6-hour days, 4-hour days of teaching them what it is from the time the doctor makes the referral until the patient passes away. And it's been very in-depth because we want our volunteers to be able to speak in the community about hospice. We want them to be able to speak to people questioning things about hospice and to be able to say when I'm in the home and helping the families, either it's turning a patient or making meals or picking up or just visiting, how to do that in the manner that our nurses would and our staff would. And so they are completely trained from the time they walk in that door on exactly what to do in any situation to give that family some peace of mind that these aren't just people showing up to help. These are people that have been trained and educated and know what the hospice way is.
Well, I appreciate so much the work that you do, and thanks for coming on the program. We've got to go. I'd love to keep talking. But Samaritan Pacific Hospice, you two have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And thank you for joining us. Remember, you can find that information online, and we'll see you same time, same place next week.